The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middleest brother, Travis Big Dog Wolf Wolf, Vroom Vroom, the heater McElroy.
Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy. I'm 38, 5'10". I live in D.C., but I'm willing to commute for a long-term project, and this is my self-tape. Thank you.
Yeah.
Really excited. Yeah!
Oh, for adult film.
What?
Those are the only sides that were provided to me by Nintendo. And I don't know. I hope I'm very enthusiastic about the project, and I'm pointing at my tattoo right now. So something to keep in mind. I have the tattoo. Wouldn't it be cool if Link had a tattoo of the Triforce on it? Probably going to do that anyway.
That would be applicable.
I already got the thing. So,
this is for the Zelda movie?
Yeah, this is we were told by Joel. And I'm starting to realize now, because you guys didn't do it, that maybe it's one of Joel's classic pranks that he likes to play on us, where he was like, record some self-tapes, you're going to be Link, I think you're a shoe. He said, I think you're a shoe-in. And I said, I'm 38, don't you think that's a little bit old for boy hero of Link? And he said, no, trust me, they'll love it. And so I feel like a fucking asshole right now, because you guys looked at me like some sort of space alien.
I think the confusion is, I'm pretty sure the boy hero of the Zelda games is named Zelda.
He's going to do that bit. That old chestnut. So
if you want, I could try. I have two characters here that I could try for it.
From Zelda?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you got some Zelda?
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
That's some options.
Yeah. No, options. That's interesting for. Yeah. An audition.
I feel like you should have one vision of the character
and really commit to it.
And really commit to it.
You have so many visions.
That can be.
Okay.
Okay, here's another one. This is a character that I was told is a small but pivotal role in the film.
Okay.
Oh, man, my warehouse full of jars.
Yeah.
What happened?
Jars man.
Oh, my jars.
That would be funny.
They had my grandmother's ashes in them.
Yeah, what if that did happen, though, and he's smashing up shit in Hyrule Town and, like, just a bunch of dust comes out and he just makes silent eye contact with the owner of the house, like, oh, fuck.
Uh-huh. Fuck.
There's one last jar to smash. That one on the mantle.
Yeah. No, Link. Beating heart on the ground and he picks it up and eats it. Blood all over his face.
Why is it rated M? There's one jar and he cusses a lot when he breaks it. It's really wild. I don't know why that's in there.
I have a problem with the Zelda the Link casting specifically, where my problem is I keep trying to read the name of the cat that's playing Link, but I get so tired.
What do you mean?
Through the name, I haven't been able to make it all the way through.
Joel said they haven't casted anyone yet and that it's all still.
So the two leads are done.
He said wide open, baby.
The other ones are wide open, and I want to let you read for the other ones. But unfortunately, Link has been already taken by Benjamin Evans.
Oh, no, he fell asleep
saying the name. That's so rude.
Justin,
come on. I could try it. There's just so many soothing vowels.
Yeah, sure.
Try again. Okay. Benjamin Evan.
No, there he goes.
He goes. Justin.
Right asleep again.
Justin,
I have a read for you. Show, buddy. Wake up.
Sorry, guys. It's the painkillers from the carpal tunnel release. It's like, I'm like way sleepy all the time.
Yeah.
So anytime I try to read the name of the guy who's playing Link, which is Benjamin Evan Ainsworth.
Evan Ainsworth. Okay, that's cool. Is it three names, like a assassin?
That was actually all one name.
Whoa.
Very long. That's one cool.
Sorry, guys.
Justin, could you give us a Ganon?
What's a
what?
Well, I don't think Justin's got Ganon energy.
Oh. I mean, I'm no Matt Mercer, but I'll
yeah, that's a good point. We actually can't audition for that one because we know Ganon. You know what
we
I mean?
How about
we
know Ganon's son? We had Ganon,
hey, listen,
Jr.
I sat down to a nice meal with Ganon.
Ganon took us out to a nice LA that's dinner true. One time. It was excellent.
Could you be Ganon Jr.? Like, if they decided Ganon had a son in this one?
Ganondorf is Ganon Jr. A lot of people get confused because it looks like he turns into them.
He's Ganon on his knees with, like, sneakers
big
in front
on.
Of his knees
and it's
to make him look shorter. It's not very tasteful.
Justin, can you give me... I mean, there's a role that I think the three of us could tackle. And in fact, I think once I say it, I might ruin our entire dynamic because the three of us will be so desperate to get this role. We'll do anything to get it. Backstab, betrayal, slander. And that's Tingle. I think one of the three of us has Tingle, the old nasty Link, old nasty flying Link, Tingle, him. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good
thing. Let me hear your Tingle.
Tingle.
That's something
really
like that.
Good.
It's really good.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. I've been playing Majora's Mask, so like I interface with Tingle on a deeper level.
I want
level.
You to have it.
You don't want Tingle?
No, you earned
it. You don't want Tingle?
You it's realize what this is going to do?
It's the wire stuff. Dude. It's the wire work. He doesn't want to do the wire work.
Yeah,
you're
that's
scared
fair.
Of the wire work?
I'm very afraid of the wire work.
Don't act like if fucking Shigeru Miyamoto rang your doorbell and was like, Travis, we want you to be Tingle. You would say, Griffin can have it. That's crazy. Do you realize what this is going to mean for my career? I'm going
to
explode.
I would like
to
play one of the big busty fairies.
No one's ever really talked about this before, and I would love it if this could be... Could this be a safe space? I get uncomfortable talking about sometimes sensitive, maybe trending erotic issues with you guys because you're my brothers and that's yucky. But no one's really ever broken... That. No one's broken down the fact that in Ocarina of Time, they say, okay, we're taking this franchise to the next level, 3D. It's like, that's great. What's Octoroks going to look like? 3D Octoroks. Awesome. I love that. What about these? What about a like-like? Yeah, we're going to take the design of the 2D like-like, and we're going to make it three-dimensional. And then they're like, okay, awesome. There are these fairies that float over small ponds, and when you go see them, they refill your health. And they're like, yeah, let's give them gigonzo bazongas that are going to be sharp enough to cut through concrete, diamond-tipped, fucking size triple J bazoongas, dude. And someone was like, wait, what are you, what? Let's have
okay,
a
but you're,
they
you're
already
to,
got,
they're like
they
tastefully,
already got eight stitches.
Yeah, they're like this tastefully is suggested kind of off frame. No, dude. These things are dead center. Cannot gonna, miss.
Fishnet onesie miniskirt crop top size Z bazanches, and we're going to have them be sharp and pointy. She's going to do nothing but scream.
Bird's eye view. You- she comes out the flower. Bazongas are jumping.
Bazongas
having a great time.
If the fairies end up that gigantic with the boobs that sharp, someone in the chain of command is difficult to work with.
Yes.
Someone is difficult to have conversations with. Like, don't bring it up. No. I know. I know the giant fairies with the bazongas. Don't.
Yeah.
It's your whole day.
Cuckoos, 2D to 3D. That's a cuckoo. Fucking, what are these little spider guys?
Skulls.
2D to 3D. Great. Love it. Just with these one, this one set. Just wild and wild.
Somebody at Nintendo at that time was a real giant honker fairy hardliner.
Yes.
Who was like, guys, I will die on this hill. I will take the code down with me. I will set fire to the servers if you try to cut these fairies.
At some point, someone said to an artist, like, and just think about how a fairy is going to make the transition from 2D to 3D. The artist is like, so it's kind of like when adult Robin Williams kisses little Julia Roberts and she gets gigantic with huge bazongas. It's like, why are you drawing already? Stop. Put your pen
I
down.
Actually have a portfolio ready to go. Dave, not again.
I have a mechanical hard drive loaded with many images that I'd love to share with you.
And three backups, just in case. Whoa.
It's in the cloud, sir.
There's nothing wrong with the great fairies having huge, sharp bazongas. But I am saying there is a story there. There's a behind-the-scenes story of one creator's passion that we will never get.
Well, Nintendo not with that attitude. Coming to Sundance this year, our in-depth documentary exploring how we got to this point from the McRoy brothers.
I could do a Midna. Midna's just got to be kind of nasty and mean.
Yeah.
Like, Link, you look great. Your ass stinks. That kind of like,
yeah, that was cool. Yeah,
more she's like sort comic of, relief.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot, Juice.
Your feet look like bananas.
Yeah, nice. Dude, that's awesome. Why are you rolling?
Which one of you is Link?
Why do you roll all the time? Stop yelling.
You should see my aunt's bazongas. They're gigantic. My aunt is a fairy. Minna's aunt is a fairy, canonically.
Minna's not a fairy. Minna's from the Twilight realm.
I want to be a Pona. That's a
different thing.
What?
I want to be a Pona. In this one, a Pona talks.
Yeah.
You should have a Pona talk.
Give Link a sidekick that talks. Talking
what would
Pona. Link,
what would a Pona's vibe be, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I don't know about energy. This one, Link. Oh,
oh that's
boy.
Cool. Yeah. Well, comic like relief opponent, I didn't even consider, but someone like,
oh, looks like you got me into another fine mess, little Link.
It's me, Josh Gad. I don't know about this one, Link.
We're trying to get fucking parts
no, it's
in
me
the fiction
playing
of the
Josh
thing,
Gad,
and you're giving that to Gad?
As Epona.
Gad hasn't had enough bites
Josh
at the apple.
Gad?
Josh Gad is now at a point, I watched Wonder Man and Travis' suggestion, great suggestion. Josh Gad is now at a point where not only does Josh Gad get to play all the roles that he plays, he's also just like getting to play fictionalized versions of Josh Gad.
Yeah.
Nice work if you can get it, Josh.
You made it at that point, I think.
Me and
you
all
made
the other
it,
Gadflies
you
are
made
wild
it.
About it.
Yeah. Gadflies is what they'd be called. Let's start the program. We're long overdue.
Well, I'm happy to be talking to you. Together we'll do it once again.
Make sure not to laugh, because that is a sin.
That's right. That's the new
That's
energy.
That's the new theme song.
Yeah. Very puritanical. No enjoyment here.
I'm a middle school teacher, and recently one of my students was passing out Valentine's Day cards she had made for some of her friends and her teachers. As she looked through the stack to find the one she had made for me, I noticed that some of her cards had Pokemon cards sticking out of them. I did not get a Pokemon card, but now I really want to know what card she would have picked for me. Brothers, how do I tell this student I would like to receive a Pokemon card without coming across as ungrateful to a child? That's from Seeking Pokemon in Poughkeepsie.
Have you let slip, and you can take some advice from me on this pretty directly, have you let slip subtle clues that maybe you are a Pokemaniac on the DL? Just dropping like little hints here and there. Just like pointing
what?
At a kid's shirt and be like, oh, Onyx. Nah, great. Like little stuff to let people know, like, hey, I'm actually into this stuff. Don't be too obvious about
it. If you have five Pikachus and two faint,
yeah.
How many Pikachus do you have left to battle?
Still five. I'll get those two fucking going again. Don't even worry about it, dude.
In the middle of the fight?
Yeah, dude. Revive, max revive. I'll get those bad boys right back in there. There is no rest on my bench. I have no bench. It's right back out there, pal.
Your kid's school's doing the Slytherin Valentine's Day card exchange thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely unhinged.
Unforced error.
Like, yeah. So unnecessary. Like, why do we need the pressure? One of the girls' teachers this year said, don't write names on them.
Awesome. So you
like
can
don't
just, yeah.
don't even personalize. Like you write your name in there, right?
Yeah.
But you cannot even personalize. I want an unpersonalized stack of paper with your name on the inside, and you just pick the IP.
Yeah.
That's all you're basically saying is like I endorse the Turtles.
This year, the girls got like these little Airheads candies with the to and from spots on the wrappers, and we're like, "This is great. We'll do
it." Impossible to write on.
And then I started writing on it. Wouldn't happen. And this guy, National Merit Scholar Travis McRoy, started looking at the Airheads package to see if it came with instructions of what kind
on
of writing
to write
utensil
on
to use. Mm-hmm. It didn't. Yeah. So I ended up writing all their names on it because my children are still learning handwriting. They're 9 and 6. They're not ready for the, you know, black diamond slope that is writing on Airheads.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, they had Haribo like gummy bear packets with to and from on it. You can't write on what?
How the fuck am I supposed to write on that? That's
How
crazy.
Am I gonna write Dyson How am I supposed to write Dyson on a package of Haribo gummies? Impossible.
Can you just say I'd like a... Hey, I think this could bring you to... If I was a kid and I was in a Pokemon, that's basically how it was. So if when I was a kid...
when you were a kid.
When I was a child.
If then...
Then a teacher came up to me and was like, hey, I'm also super into Pokemon. No, you can't fucking do that, huh?
Can't.
I also like Pokemon. Check out my card. What card do you think
I spied you passing out some Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Notice you didn't grace my palm.
Yeah.
With anything, any ducats.
I think there's a way to do that and just say like, you know, I'm also into Pokemon. What Pokemon do you think I'd be? Is that too much?
Okay. No, but like you Pokemon? Hear it, right? I you know. Can hear it. You can hear it.
I think that would be a fun to say, like, if everybody gets like this score on this test, you're all allowed to anonymously write on this card what Pokemon you think I would be.
The yeah, kids right.
would eat
says
that
here, shit
up.
Eater. Who said? Who wrote shit eater?
This is what I'm saying, man. You're gonna get some problematic responses.
You're talking about an interesting phenomenon that I have noticed, though, where Pokemon card trading has been now a thing or a concept for so long.
Right.
It is basically past a generation to where you will hear people have conversations about Pokemon cards as sources of stored value. Yeah. It's almost become like an intergenerational sort of exchange where like we all kind of know what Pokemon cards are worth. There's like the span of 20 years where like we can kind of agree on the worth of that.
Yeah.
And you can see that continue to evolve. It's like this secondary currency that has arisen and fallen alongside the USD.
Yeah. I have a sort of opposite investment portfolio, which is a website I've saved tracking the value of the entire original series of Pokemon cards and how much they're worth now, because I definitely fucking had those at some point. But then I did like sell them in, I don't know, 2005 for a gaming PC.
Peak of the market,
good one. And so now when I look at that, it's like a opposite of how much I've like lost, not how much I've gained, which is what a lot of people do when they trade the markets, but how bummed out I should be.
Oh,
I don't need a lot more sources of stuff like that, but it's nice to have a kind of numerical value that
something you can count on.
And it really makes me pay attention to not giving away things now that may be worth a fucking lot of money sometimes.
Time in
you,
hands,
help
baby.
You maintain more of a selfishness
yes,
in your day-to-day
selfishness. Yes.
Agreed.
Nothing brings me joy in my house, but a lot of things bring me anxiety that if I got rid of them, then the next day Jake Paul would be like, this is worth $100 million, actually. And I'd be like, God damn it.
Man, this is a big one, actually. Show with Jake and Logan Paul just declaring randomly what they think things are worth.
Yeah.
I've been pitching this show for 30 years.
Hey guys, Jake Paul here, and I'm here to announce that these six old Disney Magic fans are all worth $100 million now, so I hope no one got rid of those yesterday, Griffin.
Jake Paul, Jake Paul, this is my easy make of it. I've had it since I was a kid. He just rips it apart with his bare hands and Bitcoins fall out of it.
Yeah.
that's where they've been the whole time.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
There's Bitcoins in there.
This is worth nothing. I broke it. Every other easy bake oven is now worth $1 billion. I am a genie named Jake Paul, and I will curse you.
I'm a first-year college student at a music conservatory. We have a dedicated building for practice rooms, and the walls happen to be not too noise insulated. As I travel up and down the floors, you'll hear a loud trombone glissando or a virtuoso piano concerto.
Sorry, I messed up piano. Why piano?
They snuck it in there between two words.
You know?
Piano.
Piano. Pianissimo. How do I... that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yes. I meant piano...
Concerto.
Volume.
Yeah.
How do I let these people know what they did was sick? Every door has a little window, so I was thinking of giving them a thumbs up. However, I want to be mindful of their practice time and focus. Do I leave them a little note? Maybe paper airplane it in through the open practice window? That sounds like more of a distraction. I like people editing themselves as they type.
No,
like,
oh, no, not that. Idea.
I should delete that sentence. Nah, I'm too far. Brothers, what do I do? That's from Spreading Support in Cincinnati.
Listen, as someone who played trombone in middle school, I think I can speak with confidence when I say the two examples you've listed here, not exactly the same.
I mean,
right? I hear someone playing a sick piano concerto, and then somebody else just going to town on a trombone.
I mean, if I hear, so you know how hard it is to pull off a slick glissando, right? Like,
oh, hell yeah, dude.
To bust out a Skylar Gisondo on the trombone like that seems like it would be definitely worth applause.
I mean, I think you got to celebrate the achievement in the moment that it happens.
Yeah.
I think that if you get a note later, I think that's the person is going to think, well, they probably felt bad for me because no one was cheering when I actually did the thing.
Yeah.
I think when they hit the note, I think you just got to give them like, now you're cooking, baby.
Yeah.
Like that. Or like,
it needs to be immediate.
Cook it, baby. Yeah.
Cook it up in the kitchen.
Turn up the heat, Frankie.
Yeah.
Like if their name is, I don't know, they're, or like, maybe they're on the doors. I don't know if the names are on the
pop
doors.
That shit in the fryer, dude.
Yes, exactly. Turn the thermostat up, Frankie. It's too cold, baby.
Yeah, that's cool. Trav, you do one.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking of something else.
Oh, you weren't listening? Oh, Trav, the jokes were good.
Yeah, Trav, that's the best time to do another one because you're going to take it into a funky direction, man.
The jokes were really good. It would have been really fun to get up on that one, man.
What if?
It was an easy one, too.
It was easy, good jokes. It was vibing, and I was like, Trav's going to love this.
I want to tell him about it.
Please, because I was thinking of a different vein of jokes.
Listen. All you had to do with the joke was you had to be like something, something Frankie, and you're kind of yelling and then said something about temperature. It was so easy.
And it was like really funny, and it didn't take any brain work at all. You could just kind of vibe.
Frankie, boil that frog.
Yeah, I do think if it had been like more close to the bit, it would have, you could have.
So what about this? They hear a knock on the window. They turn and look. It's you in a Phantom of the Opera mask.
Oh, cool.
Yelling, bravi, bravi.
No. You're so close. You almost had it. You almost had it. You're in the Phantom of the Opera mask looking in the window. As soon as they turn to look at you, you give them a, and you're away.
Oh, and you're gone.
If you fucking make a big deal out of it, they'll know, like, oh, that's some dude in a mask. But if you get out of there quick, like really quick, and they don't see you, now in their mind, they're like, am I getting Phantom of the Opera?
And then you mention it to someone else, like,
he only appears to the most talented.
Uh-huh.
Only the most talented amongst us I've seen is the Phantom.
Yeah.
And after that, you can leave little notes signed from the Angel of Music from that point forward. Like, that was a sick trombone glissando, the Angel of Music.
See, Trav, you knocked on the door, and in my head, I'm like, why did we stop knocking?
Like, oh, you're joining in.
Music is everywhere. Open the door.
Yeah.
They get up to, it's like, knock, knock, knock. And they get up to open it, but it's like, knock, 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 knock.
And you're jiggling the handle to give it some hi-hat.
Very funky.
Yeah,
music is everywhere.
They would love that.
I love, like,
I will let you in. Please stop.
And then you break the doorknob off and they're stuck.
It's locked. Please stop.
No, you're turning it while I'm turning it.
We're both turning it.
Does your guys' algo serve you up videos of people like walking around in the park with their violin and they see someone like DJing or something? They're like, can I jam with you? And then they jam together. Or like they're walking around and there's people like drumming on the subway and they're like, can I jam? Or they have two saxophones and they're like, let's blast. Do you guys get those videos?
So this happened. Griff, yeah, I actually just got served one of these and it pissed me off. I want to hear what you were talking about, but it pissed me off because it was a man who walked around with like 8 turntables and a bunch of DJ equipment.
I've seen this
equipment.
Man, yes.
And 12 microphones.
Who happens upon him? Wyclef Jean.
Just happened. No, you found, he went looking for Wyclef.
I think you dropped a pin. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
And I think someone dropped a pin because I have been walking around lots of times, never with DJ stuff, ever.
No.
And have not once seen Wyclef Jean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
that's so funny.
And they were filming it too? Damn. Yeah.
For me, my problem is whenever I do see Wyclef Jean here in Cincinnati, Ohio, I never have my DJ stuff with me.
I know.
And then when I have my DJ stuff with me, I can never find
him. That's the day.
Travis is like, let me get my recorder out. And Wyclef Jean's like, I would rather... No, thank you. Not the recorder, please.
Do you think when two people are playing saxophone at the same time, kind of facing each other, doing like dueling saxophones, they're worried that if they get too close to one another, it will form kind of a seal, and when one blows, it'll puff out the other one's cheeks and explode their lungs?
Yeah, that's a huge, huge, huge concern. When you're playing the saxophone, it's the only instrument that you have to breathe in and out through it.
Yeah.
You can't You can't remove your, if you break the seal of your armature, then the reed loses all of its rigidity. And so you have to breathe in and out of it. And
so if the two bells touch,
if the two bells touch,
that air is going to go straight into their lungs and pop them.
Yes. And that is where bassoons come from.
Oh.
When two saxophones love each other very much, their bells touch. One blows into the other one till the cheeks explode. And then a bassoon
out pops
comes
a baby bassoon.
And out comes out a bassoon.
If you hit up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start. Contrabassoon.
Contrabassoon. Sure. Doesn't make any sense. Didn't make any sense what you just said. Why did you bring contra? Why did contra get invited to the party?
Because a contrabassoon is an instrument. And that was the contra card.
That directly opposes the bassoon. It's the bassoon's greatest enemy.
I've never heard of this evil twin bassoon. The opposite.
The contrabassoon?
A contrabassoon. I've never
the
heard of
it. The only thing that can stop a bassoon
Google
is a contrabassoon.
Right now, because you're in for a real treat, because this thing is a fucking big bassoon.
Yo. Yeah, man.
Hey, click the share. Can you not even share a picture or whatever? You're looking at pictures over there of the contrabassoon, not even sharing pictures.
I'll share a picture of contrabassoon. I don't know how to do that shit. You always do that shit.
Really? Just press the share button. Do you not have a share button?
Well, what if it's... Yeah, this is a YouTube video. Oh, so loud.
Yo, Griff, you okay, man?
Guys, you guys are really quiet in my mix. So I turned up my headphones really, really loud because you guys, I thought your mics were quiet. So I turned you up really loud thinking like, well, I'm not going to hear any other sounds while I'm doing this. And then I accidentally opened up a video of a guy playing the contrabassoon and it fucking shattered my eardrums. Okay, hold on. I got to get this fucking thing up here. I got to figure out how to share the contrabassoon. Okay, here
we go. Man, that's I misgoogled and I searched for contrababoon.
No, don't do that.
And I got some wild stuff.
I got a contrabassoon. There's a contrabassoon right there.
Screen share. Get rid of this. This is what I need to show you it, though. You got to see the size of this fucking thing, man. Make it theater mode. Can you see? You ready? I don't think you'll be able to hear it.
I hope not. I can't hear it.
Look at that bad boy.
Oh, that seems hard to press.
It's broken. Hey, dude, it's broken.
I don't think that's what it's supposed to sound like.
Dude, your shit's broken.
Yes, dude, he's fucking ripping, man.
Dude, it sounds like you're fucking drumming ass, dude. It's not music.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That can't be it.
It's coming.
Way to the modern one, which is. Yes,
dude. So you see. Don't stop, please.
That's a gun.
Look at that. Looks like he's about to assassinate the Moon Queen. Are we gonna get another blast? Oh, this one note. Everyone remembers.
Everybody knows this. That's not a note! That's not a note. It's an engine starting.
That's a W flat he's hitting right there. I love that. Oh, my God, sir.
Fucking jerk.
But we're on the other side of the thing. What's that like for him?
Why is he pretending like it is a musical experience? This freaking guy.
God. That man is actually 19 years old, but the vibrations of the contrabassoon have aged him horribly.
Gave him Jack disease. He got contact Jack disease from his contrabassoon.
It's so fucking big and deep.
That's what she's like. And it's not, it's like they made it so big that it sounds bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, good job, I guess.
That's the guy that there's one note in the entire like concerto that you need a contrabassoon. And they're like, yeah, that's why you're here, Doug. He's my nephew. Yeah.
The sheet music is like a CVS receipt with the number of staves they have to go down just to reach it.
We've just printed out your sides, Doug. It's just this one note. I'll point to you.
You'll know when it's time, Doug, because the whole place will get really quiet. And you'll just
blast.
Oh, man. Let's take a break. And we'll come back and talk about our sponsors.
Is that a movie?
We actually have settled into a morning routine here where I have not been able to keep up my end of the bargain.
Oh,
because
no.
Because I can't open the smalls for the cats in the morning.
Oh, no.
It's really put a damper on our relationship. I've gotten to a point now where I've asked Sydney to open the package of the delicious smooth bird or whatever while I stand next to her. So at least the cats still associate me
yeah.
with the delicious, flavorful, nutrient-packed food from Smalls.
Maybe she'll think you're some sort of new four-handed food-distributing entity that now dwells right. within this, ooh, in this household.
Or maybe they'll get the completely mistaken impression that you're somehow in charge of Sydney and make right. her do it yeah. for them.
Gosh, yeah. they are actually too smart for that because they kind of are in charge in our house. But that means that I like taking care of these kitties. And I like giving them the best food that I can. And I feel like Smalls does that. It helps us to control their portions because we used to just do like kind of grazing dry food. So the Smalls has been great for that. Their coats look really nice. They have a lot of energy and it's seemed to have really been great for them.
Which one's your favorite?
Probably other bird.
No, I meant of the cats.
When it's late at night, Travis, and I am feeling a little peckish, I reach for other bird or smooth pig.
No, which of the cats? Which of the two cats is your favorite?
Stop guessing which meals are going to upset their stomach. For a limited time, because you're a my brother and me listener, get 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/mybrother. One last time, that's 60% off your first order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/mybrother.
Which of us is your favorite?
Neither.
You guys know how some people call their pets their fur babies?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Is it okay to call a baby like a skin dog?
A skin puppy.
A skin puppy.
Squarespace.
You don't want to talk about that, do you?
Check out Griffin's new website, skinpuppy.com.
It's a Wait, bad idea. Hold on. So.
Guys, I can't. You can't do this to me. I'm on the IR. You can't. Please. I can't register that
You're
domain
right.
Justin right
can't
now.
Type that fast for the domain.
Ah, my hands.
Oh, no. Only skinpuppy.edu is left.
No, do not.
I don't want to learn about skin puppies.
Listen, if you have a thing that's actually stands the test of Christ's judgment more than skin puppies. And you want to put that up on the internet, that is a killer idea. Have you thought about how you're going to do it? Because there's like one way that you can do it where it's going to look really good and it's going to be super easy and it's going to make it look like you know your shit. And that way is Squarespace.
What's the other way?
Like, I guess some other service where it'll be like, all right, start coding. And you're like, fuck, I don't know anything about it. You better put the stuff where it looks good. Watch the kerning or whatever. Squarespace like does that stuff for you. We've all used Squarespace to make websites that look extremely high quality, extremely professional, and you can too because it's easy. If you sell stuff, your goods or services, there's a bunch of different ways that you can get paid, and you know sell those goods and services. You can generate invoices. You can streamline your workflow with built-in appointment scheduling and email marketing tools. It's really whatever you need a website for, Squarespace is going to be an amazing way to do that. I'm not just a paid spokesperson. I'm a customer. I also use it.
I have a new idea for a website where I get celebrities and people can commission them to hit home runs for them. In the spirit of Heater for the Big Boy, they'll hit home runs for awesome. The person and then send them a video of it. It's called Whamio.
Whamio, and that's for home runs. Squarespace will even let that happen. Squarespace will let that
videos
Squarespace
of home runs on behalf of people. Yeah, yeah.
It barely stands up in the judgment of Christ's light, but I think that it will make it on Squarespace. It'll look good.
We have a lot of celebrities already ready to go.
Okay.
Most of them are celebrity like TikTok animals.
Okay, so that's. I don't know how you're going to get a video of them hitting a dinger.
Well, you know, there's some wire work.
You have not thought this through. Head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Howdy there. So sorry to interrupt whatever amazing show you were listening to, but
It's time for an ad. I'll be so quick and get you back to your show. Don't worry. I'm host Austin, one half of a podcast called Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries that I make with my good friend Brenda. We talk about the pop culture stuff you like Thundercats and Yu-Gi-Oh! Did you know that the Thundercats are cousins with Farrah Fawcett? Or that Yu-Gi-Oh! Once caused a riot? You probably want to know more. You can find us at Maximum Fun or wherever you get podcasts every single Tuesday.
The Wizard's Answer, 8x8. The Conclave's call to demonstrate their arcane gift, their single spell. They number 64 until a conflagration. 63 and 62 they soon shall be, as one by one the wizards die. Till one remains to reign on high.
Join us for Taz Royale, an Oops All Wizards Battle Royale season of the Adventure Zone, every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want a munch.
I want to do the whole fucking thing, man. You can't just give me some of Frankenstein.
I didn't even realize I was doing it until I was like a few bars in. I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah, man.
Okay, listen.
Nailed it.
So much
fun. Every podcast 8 bars, podcast. That song is like, let's shred in a different rad way.
Yeah, I'm actually going to add a guy going,
drum solo, weird, weird, weird drum solo, and they bring it the fuck
I brought
back.
In a spaceman from Mars to do this part where he's like,
yeah, perfect.
The Lenten season is upon us, as you know.
I had to explain to Gus this morning as we were driving to school. He saw a bunch of people with ash on their forehead, and I had to explain what that meant. And there were maybe other conversations that would have been helpful to have with him before this conversation.
Any kind of context, perhaps.
Kind of just threw him right in.
Kind of walked in when they're revealing the nature of the smoke monster, and it's like, you actually need to be here. There's a lot. The Lenten season is upon us, and it does delight me that, despite them being largely agnostic most of the year, the fast food industry does fall all over itself to offer people seafood options for Fridays when they need to eat seafood.
Doesn't it say a lot, though, about those options? I've always found this funny that they don't offer them the rest of the year. Like, they know that these are the real B stringers, where it's like, listen, we know you can't do shrimp.
I'm not a Catholic, as you know.
What?
So I'm not as familiar with the rules of the Lenten season. I understand there's many religions that have, you know, rules about diet or whatever, so I don't want to be too flippant about that. I do, in my understanding, though, I don't think Jesus's idea was that for this certain time of year, you would plan on seafood feasts every Friday. I don't think Jesus meant for you to have seafood feast Friday
just to
for
mix
this
it
whole
up.
Season.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Exactly.
He wanted more filet of fishes out there.
So he took one, he divided the filet of fish and made enough for everybody to have some filet of fish.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about this now for the first time, and I don't want to be sacrilegious or anything, but about 3/4 of the disciples were fishermen. It's a little bit sus that he was like, oh, and one day of the week is only eat fish day.
Yeah, wink.
I think. And make sure to stock up for leftovers.
Right. Make sure you pay your taxes on it, right, guys?
Yeah.
Everybody into that? Smash Burger introduces new shrimp lineup for Lent. Okay? So listen. Hold on. I'm going to open an image.
Is it?
I'm
going to
tell you
shrimp?
About these. I'm going to tell you about these lineups that they have for Lent, okay? But just imagine a god Imagine a deity where you're like, this is what I'm eating for you. And the deity's like, good job. That's what I wanted you to do.
Practicing restriction and moderation.
This is, thank you. Thank you. Do this in remembrance of me. Smash this fried lobster roll. Thank you. What a sacrifice. Wow, beautiful. You could have had a hamburger today and you did it.
Chat.
Amazing. You just had butterfly shrimp with bang bang sauce. Okay.
Chat, we're looking at like a Texas toast size French toast wrapped around a long and extraordinarily crunchy shrimp feast with a bunch of orange sprizzled across it. I do see what appears to be
Yeah,
and we have
that is,
leaves.
Eat of this bang bang sauce. It is my blood. Because I'm awesome, dude.
We got two big baskets of popcorn dealios with French fries and everything. So it looks good.
Smashburger, the fast casual restaurant company that popularized what?
Smashburgers
introduced its, that's what it says in the press release.
Sure.
Introduced its new shrimp limited time offerings, adding fresh seafood variety. Because I think freshness when I'm looking at this, this pile of brown.
Yeah.
Fresh seafood variety for in time for Lent.
Cool.
Hey, can we do that, brands- by the way? Can we start press releases about us as like my brother and me, which popularized my brother and me?
Yeah. Good point.
At Smashburger, we're always looking for ways to bring fresh flavor and variety to our guests. And our new shrimp offerings do exactly that, said Tom Ryan, founder of Smashburger.
How lucky.
Lent is a time when many people look for seafood options, and we wanted to deliver something that meets that need while staying true to the great tastes our guests expect. The new shrimp lineup brings a delicious twist to the season, full of flavor and offered at a value that makes it easy for guests to enjoy something different.
We know that the other 325 days of the year, you guys think about eating like fish and shrimp and stuff that are in the ocean, and you're like, ooh, yucky.
Ew, yuck. No
we
way.
Know that.
So imagine you are sitting down to dinner, okay? And Travis, you're Jesus, okay? So I need you to see like you snuck up behind me and I'm eating dinner and just be like, ah, good job, Justin. What are you having?
Hello, my son. Justin. My favorite. You're having a great Lent. What are you eating in my name?
Scorching big shrimp roll. I'm doing it for you, Jesus. I'm eating a scorching big shrimp roll. It's a dozen crispy shrimp marinated in scorching hot spices, leaf lettuce, and remoulade sauce served on a butter toasted roll for you.
I never asked you to do that, Justin.
Thank you, Lord.
No, there's so many other things that
you
should be
you
worried about.
In your Bible?
What have you been, which Bible have you been reading, Justin?
I've given everything for you, God. Because of you, I'm eating, I wanted to get a burger at Smashburger. Instead, I'm eating a scorching shrimp basket, which is just two dozen crispy shrimp marinated in scorching hot spices served with French fries, remoulade sauce, and chipotle mayo, Jesus.
Justin,
for you.
You're crying and just chugging milk.
Because I wanted a burger so much, Jesus, but instead I have to eat two dozen crispy shrimp served with French fries, remoulade sauce, and chipotle mayo.
You didn't have to do that. You could have had like some nice tuna, maybe like a salmon filet.
No, Jesus, he couldn't have. Hi, I'm Jim Sullivan, CEO of Smashburger.
Jim!
Our new shrimp lineup is...
My greatest enemy!
Our new shrimp lineup...
His quote starts, actually, Jesus.
Actually, Jesus. Our new shrimp lineup is more than just a seasonal addition. It reflects our commitment to meeting guests where they are and giving them fresh reasons to choose Smashburger.
But shouldn't they be choosing me, Jim?
No, Jesus. Taste has always been at the heart of our brand and our greatest competitive advantage. And now we're adding Jesus into there and doing what he wants. With these flavor-forward seafood options for Lent, we're reinforcing our leadership in fast casual and showing guests they can count on Smashburger for bold innovation and real value.
I'm more of a Taco Bell man myself.
That makes sense. That tracks.
I wanted to get the scorching cheesy Mac Smash.
Jesus, can you make the Doritos Locos Taco come back at Taco Bell? Do you have
any? It's the one thing I can't do.
The one thing you can't do is bring back the Doritos, the specifically Cool Ranch Doritos Locos Taco from Taco Bell.
I can bring them back at limited locations.
Listen, Griffin, it's called Good Friday, not Great Friday. I'm a cook, and I love making all sorts of food, but one of my favorite ingredients to work with are beans. This week, I made a large batch of red beans and rice, and I've been loving it. My husband is not. This morning, we had a full coming to God meeting where he told me that I was farting in my sleep all night. It was so bad that he had to leave the bedroom at 5 a.m. to go in the living room to escape my emissions. The problem is I still have 2 pounds of cooked beans in the fridge and about 8 pounds dried in the pantry. I don't want to throw them all away, but I can't trust myself not to keep ripping ass in the twilight hours. What should I do? That's from Garbanzo Glutton on the Gulf Coast. I think my first question is, why did this nasty dog wake up to smell your farts?
That's crazy. Yeah.
Go back to bed, Gerald. You know what I mean? Like, why are you up huffing farts?
Why, Gerald? Go back to bed, dude. There's no way while you were dreaming, you smelled the smell where you're like, whoa. There's no way, dude.
You're not fucking goofy. You're not goofy. You didn't get lifted up by the scent waves on your nose.
No way, dude.
I woke up to the blanket floating 6 inches above the bed.
Yeah. Gerald, I'm on the iPad connected to your account. It says you have a timer set for 2 a.m. every morning that says it's fart time.
Hmm.
Do we need to talk about this?
One bite of beans a day till they're all gone. Microdose.
Yeah, you're like your fucking Andy Dufresne scooping walled dust.
There's some beans. I mean,
here you go.
Mess you up, you know?
Yeah, sure. I do want to say, and I know this is maybe a privileged position to take, but there aren't many medicines out there that are more, there aren't that many medicines out there that are more sort of self-instructed as to what they help with than Beano.
Yeah.
Beano is, it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like if there was, when you, if Dayquil was called like Coldo or something like this is what you do, Sneezo. It's like this is what you eat when you have beans, and it helps digest the fibers better.
And it also is like, and if you take it, there'll be no gas. And it's like, that's a double. That's a great.
Got all kinds of stuff going for
you're
it.
Done. You're done. You're done. It's the greatest product.
That's
it's
one of those
crazy
that you don't reach for often, but when you do, it always hits. Beano always hits.
Have you tried Beano?
Yeah, dog.
No, I'm going to contradict my own one spoon a day idea with one day. 10 pounds of beans, get it all over with in one night. Let your husband know it's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
But only, it's like the worst it's ever been, but for one night only. Like a pay-per-view boxing match, one night only.
Yeah, when I was in college, actually right after I graduated, I had a similar situation. I took a bean walk where it was 2 weeks, and I just brought, I think it was 8 pounds of uncooked beans with me in my satchel, and I had my pan. And I would just find water sources, and I would just travel. I mean, I traveled for weeks just farting and eating beans.
Just ripping ass.
It was a bean walk, and I made it to Dublin. I met Ewan there. Ewan.
You fart hiked to Ireland?
Him across the sea.
You fart hiked to the Emerald Isles?
I met Ewan there, and he actually put me in his sidecar because I'd exhausted myself.
Well, yeah.
So did you walk?
I had many nutrient deficiencies by that point.
You crammed the 8 pounds of beans, walked to Boston, did a fucking Super Mario 64 backwards long jump ass rip.
It was more of a maybe stay out Mr. Magoo thing where I like walked into the wrong shipping container and it closed behind me. Okay. And then I got.
And did you keep walking in the shipping container just to keep your steps up?
Yeah. And you died within an hour because of how you'd filled it up. With your bean mistakes.
You could also go spoon for spoon with your husband and just be like, hey, if you want these gone, we're doing this together. I eat a bite, you eat a bite. We're going to hold hands, you know, through the storm, as it were.
Man, I'd say throw them out, but then you're going to have way more beans.
A lot of giants coming down.
The giants coming down. Definitely.
I was going to say, like, there's definitely... you know, places in your community that will accept beans. Yeah. I will say two things. One, beans does take a long time to cook. And also, like, you don't necessarily want to give people who are in close quarters the gift of like, here, why don't you guys
these
eat a thousand
fart
beans?
So bad.
Why don't all of you fart?
This much of the beans made me fart so bad my husband woke up. So this many beans.
Could... Now, do you guys want to swim in them like Scrooge McDuck?
There are so many foods in my pantry that I'm like, oh, you know what? I just remembered I have this thing. I can make this for dinner. And then like I look at the instructions and they're like, oh, do you want to have this for dinner? Start it yesterday. And I'm like, oh, well, I didn't do that. And then they remain there.
Yeah.
Forever.
You gotta think about it. It's like cold brew coffee. When you think like, man, like people who make their own, like, man, I'd love to have some coffee tomorrow.
Yeah, but I don't even want beans today, let alone tomorrow. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not going to set myself up like that.
You do have to, if the beans are done, you got to start eating the beans. So you could kind of set up, it's kind of like an alarm for yourself to eat beans. Like, if the beans are done now, like, you have to eat them. You're kind of you're forcing your own hand.
Oh, solved. Eat the beans right before you go to bed. So that way, let's call it what it is, brewed overnight. Then you wake up, you're farting throughout the day.
How long do you think this reaction takes? You understand this is like a chemical reaction that pretty much works within.
Wake up in the middle of the night. Whatever you're going to have to do some scientific.
Being, you're a mammal. Like, you can't time your body like that. You can't game the system. You're not fucking 4 hours.
They have enough beans that they can run some tests. They can work out the timing perfectly and then just have the circumstances happen throughout the day.
Yeah.
There's like a rate at which you could eat the beans that is not by the spoonful, that it is a bean every minute.
And then you double it every day.
And you're just slowly farting a little bit throughout the day?
There's got to be an amount at which the body's fart sensors aren't triggered.
Yeah. Oh, so they don't catch it.
I'm saying you don't chew it, right? You just swallow like a pill. You swallow a bean every minute or whatever. You don't chew it, and you're just passing. They can't make you fart if you're passing them whole.
It is so important that if you do this, no one ever sees you doing it because you'll never be able to explain it.
Yeah. Or they think you're on an extremely demanding medicine regimen. You know what I mean? And they feel super bad for you. Like, wow, Justin takes a lot of pills. Wow. Throughout the day, I see him popping beans.
Why does he look inflated like the bad guy in Live and Let Die? Justin floating away like a big balloon right now.
What do you mean I'm sitting on him now?
That's like, crazy. Yeah, Are you sure?
He's a beanbag. He's extremely comfortable. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I hope so too.
Really though, like really.
I really
hope you liked it because I like recording it.
Hey, we got merch in the merch store. Can I tell all the people all about it?
Yeah.
You better do that.
If you're as stoked about our year name as we are, and I truly am, guys, I feel like I'm using it a lot because I'm the type of guy who wants to stop doing stuff a lot. Oh, Having a little guy in my brain who's like, make it stick. That's really good stuff. Anyway, we got a sticker for that if you need reminding from designed by Lucas Hespenhide. And we also, if you didn't watch Candle Nights this past year, we did it back in Huntington at the Keith Albee Live. It was so much fun, and you can watch the whole thing on demand. It's pay what you want. Our merch store is macwarrenmerch.com. 10% of all of our merch proceeds this month will be donated to the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota. So check that stuff out. We got streaming stuff coming up at the McRoy Family YouTube channel.
That's true. Tomorrow, the 24th on Tuesday, is another Clubhouse. Join us there on McRoy Family at noon Eastern time.
Talk of the Limps.
What?
What?
We're talking about the Limps.
Oh, the Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, we are going to be doing sort of Olympic jokes.
And then every other Tuesday. So the last Tuesday of every month is going to be McRoy Family Clubhouse. Every other Tuesday at noon is Super McRoy Brothers playing our little video games, our little digital games. Come check those out over at the McRoy Family YouTube channel and all our solo streams.
Yep. We're streaming almost every day. Every day over there. Also, I have a book coming out March 10th. It's a Choose Your Own Adventure book from the Choose Your Own Adventure Company. I'm very, very excited. It's called The Stowaway. You go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway, and you can pre-order that now. And it's $10, and it would mean a lot to me personally. Thank you so much.
Did we thank Montaigne?
Thank you, Montaigne, for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a slapper, it's a clapper, it's a flapper, it's a trapper.
Griffin, you have to decide. I've been at Spretzel Rod.
I haven't gotten to throw in a couple episodes.
Yeah, I think it is Travis's turn, and I know I don't want to contribute to food waste.
I keep the pretzel rods like here all the time.
Yeah, so Travis is going to throw his stuff to Miggy. Now, Travis is always makes me nervous because he has a lot of what looks like pretty breakable shit in his background.
I'm always worried he's going to aim for the mic. Or
maybe that's best practice. Let's see. Nice, actually.
That's a good sound, though.
Square fucking hit, dude. That sounded
really
good.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.